The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, great to have you with us. Podcast time on this horrendous Tuesday. I'm Jerry. He's Al. What's going on?
Oh, hi there. I wanted to bring to your attention a quick conversation I was having with intern Ethan today.
Yeah, Ethan's a good dude.
Yeah, I don't know how we were talking about food and that sort of weight gain and all. So I don't know how it came up. It was somehow it came up on the show, and I was giving all my food theories like okay. I like to do. And Ethan was telling me, though, he's like, you know, I eat anything I want. He's very slim.
He is very slim.
He's a slim fella. So he goes, so it must be genetic. I said, well, it can't be genetic because there's no gene. Like, there's not like being bald is genetic. You have a bald gene. But there's no gene that would say you're weight.
Yeah.
So I say, when I see a fat mom and a fat dad and a fat kid, that kid's not fat because his two parents genetically gave him fat genes.
He's eating the same crap his parents are eating.
Correct.
Yeah.
So then Ethan was asking me, he goes, well, I'm slim and I eat whatever I want. How is that possible?
Because you're young and your metabolism's on fire.
So then he was saying, well, isn't that genetic or something with the metabolism? And the only argument I can make about, like right now he's able, because I always bring up Bob Dwyer, he used to work here.
Yeah.
And Bob Dwyer used to eat terrible food,
mm-hmm.
and he was very slim.
Yeah.
And then at some point, probably when he turned 40,
it stopped.
It stopped, and his diet didn't change, but the way his body did the things.
As his body gets older, things start to slow down.
Yeah. So Ethan was saying, you know, I'm a slim guy, and I eat whatever I want. But I was thinking, like, I don't think you could bring me a person that is, like, you can definitely show me thin people who eat really bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you can show me a fat person that eats healthy. Like, I don't think that's
possible. Are we talking 100% healthy, or are we talking...
I'm just like somebody who 95% of their meals they're eating are healthy.
So I would put myself in the category of an 85-15 guy. I'm not going to say 95-5.
Okay.
I'm not that clean. My biggest... I really do believe my sleep has wrecked my body. It's just, I mean, I think for me, I'm reading a lot about cortisol levels in your 50s. I'm reading a lot about what the lack of sleep does to that, what broken sleep does to that, and I qualify for all of this. So I do think, you know, whether it's not going to bed at the same time every night, even though I try, and then when Rutgers starts, I have nights I'm going to bed at 11 and getting up at 2:30. There's just no, and there's no way around it unless I'm going to quit those jobs, but they pay too well and they're too much fun to, I've always said to you, I think to me, I'm getting to the point, it's got to be this or that.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is I need this and that.
Right.
Until I can find something to replace this or that financially. So I do believe for me, that's a big part of it, but I agree with you. I think if you're going to bed at 11 o'clock every night and getting up at 6 a.m. every day, like a normal person and a normal worker, and you're eating, I think, an 80-20 diet, you should be in decent shape, I think, personally.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, I can't think of somebody who is
And you can't be immobile.
Right.
You have to move. You can't sit in front of a screen all day and then go home and be on the couch all day and look at your watch or your activity and see 3,000. Not that I even think 10,000 steps is the holy grail like people thought it was, but it does signify some activity. You can't just be completely idle.
I think
that hurts too.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of things that go into it. I just don't think genetics...
I don't either.
Like, they haven't identified a overweight gene.
No, I think that's been proven that it's not genetic.
Yeah.
What do you think about the big-boned person, though? And you know what I mean. Like, there are, whether they're females or men, they're just bigger.
They're thicker.
Yeah. And even though they might be thin, they appear bigger than they are because they have... I don't know if it's thicker bone. I don't know what it is. Like, we have a friend of ours. She is, I don't think she's heavy. I don't. But she's like 5'10". So right off the bat, she's taller and bigger. She's got like bigger shoulders. She's big, and I don't mean fat big.
Yeah, I think that's just a bigger person.
Yeah. So you agree, like, a bigger boned person does exist.
Yeah, and, like, I think a thicker person exists, like, yeah. In even if they eat healthy. But what they're not going to have is the belly. That's, I think, the difference.
Sure.
Like, the man belly or the woman butt.
Yeah.
Butts and bellies.
And thick thighs.
Yeah, like, I think that's the difference.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you.
Hmm.
I mean, like, Ethan, I have a 21-year-old and a 16-year-old. If I told you what they ate, you'd be mortified. Mortified. Like a box of Cheez-Its a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean when I say a box, I don't mean like a little mini box. I mean a box of Cheez-Its. And that's topped off by four scoops of cookies and cream Breyers ice cream at night. And in between, Oreo cookies. It's like, guys, and they're rail thin. But they also don't stop moving. And they're really young. You know?
Yeah, you got all that combination.
And they sleep 12 hours a night.
Yeah. Like, I'd love to have someone, I would love to work with someone who is like, I don't know, I just, when I see, and I brought this up on the show today, when I see like obese people running on the boardwalk, I feel like stopping them and saying, I know this is very hard what you're doing, but this is not going to get you thin.
No, it's the kitchen.
Until you figure out the food first. Because really what it does is it makes you hungry.
Yep.
After doing all that physical activity and you eat more.
Yeah.
It just so much seems so much to be what you're eating and as the first line of defense.
The one thing I would say, and I think this could be a chicken or egg conversation. I do think, at least in my experience from all the years, when I am eating really well, it usually starts out with a workout routine, meaning not run once and hey, no, I mean like when you get to where you've worked out, let's say 5 out of 6 days or 5 out of 7 days, you start to not want the bad food.
Yeah.
But you got to get your mind there and get through those workouts. And then all of a sudden for me, once I get through a week, it's like, all right, now I feel like I'm getting on a roll. And I will start to look at all of a sudden that bad food as for what it is, horrible food. Like, why would I put that in my body after I just killed myself for 60 or 75 minutes, whether it's at the gym, well, I don't go to a gym, whether it's using the weights in the garage or whether it's doing some sort of HIIT exercise. So for some it can, but I agree with you. If you're just out there jogging, it's got to start in the kitchen first. It has to.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm just so curious, like, if there is, because I've seen plenty of thin people who eat bad, but yeah. I haven't seen a obese person that eats
clean or good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably very true.
Here's something that I can't figure out, Jerry, and this is, I enjoy this bag of popcorn that I get in the supermarket. It's from, the hell's the name of the brand? I forget what the name of the brand. It was Lesser Evil.
Okay. I've seen it.
Their plain, unflavored popcorn is very good. It's just popcorn made in coconut oil. It's good. Now, you would think there's a giant factory that's making just hundreds of thousands of things of popcorn, right? And then it gets bagged.
I would think.
Bagged.
What are you telling me? Is it someone's basement?
No. Okay. But this makes sense, right?
Yes.
And it's getting bagged from this gigantic thing of popcorn. Now, if I make popcorn at home and I put it in a popcorn bowl, at the bottom of the bowl, I'm going to have unpopped kernels or kernels that half-assed popped or
look roasted almost.
Yeah, and it's at the bottom of the thing. But that's because they didn't pop. But the entire contents of my popping popcorn I dumped into the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
What I cannot figure out is that this popcorn that I get at the bottom of the bag has kernels and half popped popcorn. How is it getting in there if it's coming from a big vat of popcorn that was fully popped?
I would think that kernels slip through the cracks. That's what I would think.
In every bag, though?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Because I think I may have hurt my tooth biting on a
I believe it.
Biting I always on actually a kernel.
I actually like biting the kernels.
Yes.
But the, I mean, the crispy ones that just didn't pop but got roasted.
When they go,
yes.
But the ones that are hard.
And from time to time, I think one's good and it's not.
Yes.
It's like, oh.
Yes.
That ain't smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that. So you're going to sue them?
Lesser Evil?
Al's coming for you.
I'm coming to take you. I would take a lifetime supply of popcorn as
I got to check now. My wife is big into this Skinny Pop.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't eat it. I've never been a popcorn fan. Mm-hmm. I'll have a handful here and there, but like I was never the person to go to a movie theater and get a bucket of popcorn. Just I'd rather have the Swedish fish,
yeah.
to be quite honest. But anyway, so I usually get a bag, normal size bag, nothing crazy, every week for her. I will check when we get to Friday and she's on like the last couple of scoops to see if there are kernels in the bottom of the bag.
Yeah.
Like if you got regular like Wise popcorn. Mm-hmm. Which is the buttery, crappy, you know what I'm talking about.
In a bag?
I think there are kernels at the bottom of that, if I remember from years back.
Do you think I should write to Lesser Evil and ask?
Why not? You got nothing else to do today.
I'm actually thinking of, I just don't know. I want to.
What are you going to ask them?
Yeah, I want to be able to word it properly. Like, I want to say, like, I'm just so curious, I say, because like I understand how I get unpopped kernels at home when I'm making my own popcorn, because mm-hmm. I'm dumping the whole thing.
Yeah.
You guys are popping all, unless they're individually popping bags of popcorn.
I don't believe
which
that.
They can't be doing.
No.
How am I getting the bad kernels?
Why don't you phrase it this way?
Okay.
You're a big fan of their product.
Yes.
But I would like to know what the process is for your production and bagging of the popcorn, because recently I have had kernels in my bag and I almost chipped a tooth last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't want to be in a position
to sue your asses.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to be put in a bad situation with dental bills because of your product.
Mm.
Don't threaten them. Don't say you're going to sue them, but make it clear, like, you know, some of these things are ending up in the bag that I'm paying good money for.
Yeah.
And I almost chipped my tooth the other day.
Yeah.
I would phrase it something like that.
Yeah, I'm just so curious how I'm getting those. It just doesn't make sense.
How fast a company like that gets back to you.
Yeah, well, they'll get back to me because I know I'm going to sign my name, Al Dukes. Esquire.
Oh, God.
They'll think I'm a lawyer.
Be funny if someone's last name was really Esquire.
A lawyer has emailed us.
Nope, just Mr. Esquire.
What should we do?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Skinny Pop uses what I consider the bad oils,
I'm sure.
Which is not good.
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
But the Lesser Evil is delicious, and I wonder if it's a similar price.
I should know what the Skinny Pop costs, considering I buy it every week.
Mine you could get on sale for $3.49.
How big's the bag?
Maybe like that. I think it's the same size as Skinny Pop because it's in like the same shelving area.
I'm going to say that I buy them when they're on sale 2 for $5. So they're probably $4 a bag.
Yeah, but when mine go on sale, he's 2 for $7. So it's that's might be more.
Maybe
so maybe
two
it
for
is more.
Six. I don't know. They're not like they're $2 a bag. I know that.
You know what I do with this? When I go, I eat the same thing for lunch every day. I make.
Which is amazing. How do you do that?
I scramble 4 eggs.
I know.
But while I'm making my eggs, I'm eating fistfuls of this Lesser Evil popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also, check out this disgustingness, Jerry. As I'm shoving the popcorn in my face,
yeah,
I'm slicing thin slices of butter and putting it in my mouth while I'm...
Just slices of butter.
Thin slices of butter to go with the popcorn.
You like that?
Oh, I love... I could eat a stick of butter.
Oh, God. I do not like butter. Here's the only way I like butter. I'm not even joking. And I love it this way, is sourdough, freshly sliced sourdough bread, which we get at Dearborn. They slice it right in front of you. And then you put it in the toaster. And then I like to put a thin slice of butter as I'm eating it because I don't like it to melt.
Yes.
That I like, but I can't eat just the butter. I find that almost repulsive.
Mm-mm-mm, I love it.
So Skinny Pop would be, it looks like it's more $3.50 a bag. So that makes sense if it's $3.50 a bag and I get them 2 for $6.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Because this mine is like $4.49 a bag, okay. And they'll do 2 for $7.
Yeah, okay.
On sale.
And Skinny Pop is more money than Wise popcorn, but clearly not as much as
Lesser Evil.
Yeah.
Now, Lesser Evil has flavored ones, too, which ingredient-wise doesn't go with what I'm trying to
you
follow.
You don't ever get bored. Like, I love eggs. I do. And in my house... this is the routine. I'm not even joking. Every Saturday and Sunday in my house. Every Saturday, my wife makes a gigantic stack of pancakes, for my two guys, and she will have a couple, nothing crazy, but she'll have like maybe two. And I either don't eat breakfast on Saturday mornings, or I have the plain Greek yogurt with fresh strawberries. That's usually what I have on Saturdays. Then on Sundays, I do the running, and I get bagels for them and the cream cheese, which is great. And I usually make myself either 3 or 4 egg omelet with, I'll either put in cheddar cheese, or I will first fry up a pepper, and I'll have, it's like a 3 or 4 egg pepper. And I love that. I'm like, I should have this every day. But then I get home on Monday. I just had them yesterday. I don't want eggs.
Yeah.
Like, I can eat hard-boiled eggs every day. Now, by Tuesday, I'm good. So, like, today, I will go home. I will have probably 4 fried eggs. I can't do scrambled every day. That bores me. The idea that you do this every single day,
every day,
mesmerizes me. Like, your body never wants, like, you're never like, maybe something else today.
No, like, in fact, when I get home and I grab the dog and I'm walking, I'm like, ooh, I get to make my eggs when I get back.
You know how people usually feel about pizza?
Yeah.
Not just bland eggs. That's amazing.
Yeah, eggs. I put some salt on it.
Yeah.
I make a piece of toast with avocado spread.
All good.
Delicious.
Not every day. I can't do it every day.
Yeah.
And I also know, so I went from, so right now my routine, Boomer's killing me with the blueberry pie. I felt like crap after eating that, by the way. So the idea today was my blueberry lemon drink with the flaxseed and chia mix. And then I had like a little serving of beef jerky. That was my day. That was what it was going to be, aside from the stupid blueberry pie. And then today I was going to go home and have the fried eggs like that. And whatever, dinner would be what it's going to be. That's my day. Yesterday I couldn't do that. Yesterday I was like, so I did the sourdough bread with butter, which
I
was delicious.
I do love sourdough bread with butter. Oh,
it was,
man.
Very good.
Damn.
Very good.
All right, here's another observation I had while on vacation. There are small businesses in all of our towns that are so popular they have a line out the door.
Okay.
You may have one in your neighborhood. Could be a bakery. It could be a bagel shop, a pizza place.
Yeah, the bagel shops generally on the Saturday and Sunday mornings are very busy.
Yeah, so I'm talking about places that have a line out the door.
Yeah.
I feel like if you have a line out the door, you're doing a bad job at managing your customers. Because so many times I want to go, but I'm not waiting in like a lot.
Depends on the size. So I'll give you an example. There's a bagel shop by me that is in a strip mall, and they didn't take up a huge store. They didn't. It's just when you walk in, I would say maybe there's 10 to 15 feet to the counter.
Yeah.
Behind them are all the bagels. Then there's a grill. And then there's a bigger part of the kitchen in the back where they're really making the sandwich. They're doing a lot back there for the online ordering. And every time you go in, you're usually outside. There's just no room. They got plenty of people working there. It's just small. But I give them credit. They didn't take on too much. They probably should expand now. But they're doing great. And to your point, there have been times I've pulled in. I'm like, there's 6 people outside. I'm not going.
Yeah.
And I'll go somewhere else. So I agree with you, but it's not always just that they're bad at what they're doing. Sometimes there's just too many people for the space.
Yeah, this place, there's a bakery in my town that serves really good coffee.
Right.
And they have baked goods and baked bread. And
right.
It's a small place, but there's always a line. And I end up going to a coffee place I don't like as much because there's no line.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
And I just feel like there's got to be, like, this place is not making sandwiches, or everything they have is there.
Right.
Now, this could be a situation where the customers are like, what do I want?
Oh, 100%.
Do I want a cookie?
Yep, for sure.
And maybe that's holding the line.
I went to Dearborn and got the bagels the other day, and the woman in front of me. So when you go into Dearborn, when you walk into the bakery department, to the left are all the bagels and all the breads, and that's where you go. Then they have a really nice display of cookies and cakes and all that stuff, and then they have coffees down on the far side. So early in the morning, there's usually a girl doing the bagels, girl doing the coffee. So one of the girls doing the coffee, and the girl's doing the bagels is with an older woman, I would say in her mid to late 60s, hemming and hawing over trying to put together a cookie platter. I just want 6 bagels.
Yeah.
Like, I was ready to walk around, and I was close to leaving, but I'm also there every week, so I didn't. So you're right. I mean, there's a lot of indecision, and you're trying to keep the customer happy. Customer's always right, but I'm sure in the back of her mind, she's like, will you pick a cookie already?
Yeah.
So that probably, but it's also like you've talked about with doctors. Do you want to go to a doctor when you call them? They're like, come right over. We got no one here. Or the doctor that's like, we can't see you for 2 months because they're really busy.
Yeah, we want somewhere in between.
I agree. That store is busy because they're really good, maybe.
Yeah.
And their customers suck, as opposed to the place that's dead empty. It's going to be closed in 3 months.
Yeah, as I'm thinking about this place in particular, it's a bakery. And while I said they don't have a huge selection, they have a nice selection. Yeah. It's a very small place. The problem is, because the line goes outside, because it's a small place, the customer can't see what's available.
Until they get in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, while you're in line going, oh, I'm going to get the this and then that and the You go up, you go, what do we got today?
I hear you. The one thing, the one business by me that gets backed up like crazy is the Dunkin' Donuts drive-thrus. And there's one by my house that routinely, on the weekends mostly, the line is on the shoulder in the highway.
Mm.
And it ain't because they're not staffed. This place runs like a factory. They're really good. What I have learned, and it's been from being in there and hearing the orders, is when the a-holes go up in the drive-thru, and they're like, yeah, I'll take a dozen donuts. I need 3 chocolate frosted, 3 glazed. What kind of sprinkles you have?
Oh.
Now we're not looking at the donuts. We're talking through a monitor.
Right.
And they're, yeah, I'll take one of those. And I also need a bagel and cream cheese. Can I get 2 sausage, egg, and cheeses? And I'm going to need 6 coffees, and they're all different. You're holding everybody. Yeah. Go in.
Yes, go into the place.
God. And then they get up there, and it's like, you know, like 17 things are coming into the car.
Right. Hot liquids, which they then have to find a spot for. Yeah. That's a bad job. They've got to go into that.
I agree.
Into the restaurant.
I will not place an order at the drive-thru if it's anything more than just a couple of cups of coffee.
Yeah.
And like 1 breakfast sandwich. Other than that, I'm going inside.
Or, you know, chocolate frosted.
Yeah, fine. If you're decisive.
Yeah.
That's fine,
you're
too.
Right. Or they wait until they're at the window with the speaker. Then they turn to their kids. What did you want?
Oh, God. And you can see that, too.
Well,
you
what
can
do see they have?
It. Oh, my. By the way, speaking of coffee, so Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks rule, essentially, by me. I know where you are, smaller coffee shops do really well. So then Rook opens up. Rook, who's going to Rook?
In Hazlitt?
No, they're in Homedale.
Homedale.
And I remember this is years of 5-6 years ago they opened.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, who's going to something called Rook? Popular as all hell. Yeah. Unbelievable. So now this 7 Brews drive-through just opened by Costco by me.
Okay.
And they're building it. I'm like, you know, that might do okay because it's really just a drive-through place. Now the place is mobbed every day. Dunkin' is still mobbed. Like, it's amazing. It really is.
Oh, yeah. It's very rare you see a coffee place go out of business.
You don't.
Yeah.
The only one I've seen by me, a Tim Hortons went out of business.
Oh, I do remember that one.
No, I don't think it was in the greatest of spots, and it was right next to, I think it was right next to a Dunkin' at the time. Tough spot. I think Starbucks was first, then Tim Hortons. Ugh. Not great logistics. Other than that, I can't think of any coffee shop I've seen go out of business.
Yeah. I'm always fascinated when people, like Rook is a great example. Rook Coffee is like a Jersey Shore area.
Yeah.
They have multiple. The amount of people that will put a Rook sticker on their car. They're everywhere.
I know.
Free advertising. That's how much people are into it.
I know. We need an Al and Jerry sticker.
Yes.
We can be as popular as Opie and Anthony back in the day.
Honk if you love Al and Jerry. And show us your boobs when you drive by, like a wow sticker. All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up program. We'll be back tomorrow on a Wednesday from 5 to 6 a.m., then back with the post-game podcast. Until then, so!
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.